Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode. So happy to be here with you guys. As always, I am blessed to have the lovely Karis here with me today to co-host and help steer the ship. I love having co-host on the show because, especially some female energy, some feminine energy, you know, it's me. They get to hear me 5 days a week. I mean, I get a guest on Wednesdays, but, you know, whenever I can have some divine feminine drop in to positive headquarters here, it's always really nice. And you have so much with you. It's like, when I knew you were going to come to town, I was like, oh, I want to do as many co-host episodes as possible. We could do interview as well. I wanted to do all the things, but we have somewhat limited time. So we are going to, I think a good place to start. Why don't you just give everyone a little bit of an idea of who you are, what your background is, what makes you magical.
We'll take it from there. Okay, cool. Well, my name is Karis and I'm from the U.S., and I was raised in a fundamentalist Christian home, so I've always been highly intuitive.
From Virginia, right?
From Virginia.
Like me.
Yes, the backwoods, like deep south, 5,000 people in my hometown, super racist, all the things. Like
wonderful.
I know, it's great. Well, it's funny, because now in the nation, especially since I haven't lived there in so long, all the stuff's bubbling up in the national consciousness with all the racial stuff happening.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh yeah, I know that, but I have been gone from it for, I don't know, how long, like 16 years I haven't lived in that environment. So so it's really interesting to have it come back around and be like, oh yeah, I remember that, because the places I live now, it's not as big a deal.
Right.
So yeah, so anyways, when I was, you know, intuitives and empaths are always like that. Star seeds, we're like that forever in our lives. But growing up, I squashed it because I was taught just from the people around me, they didn't mean to, that it was either not real or terrifying, scary, demons, something like that. So I didn't realize this was going on until I was about 20 years old. I had a crazy spiritual awakening, thought I was insane, then found out about shamanism and Reiki and energy work and dream travel and all this kind of stuff. So since then, I've been studying it basically full time. I also went the academic route and got a couple of master's degrees, left school 3 months out from getting my PhD.
A couple master's degrees?
Yeah.
Just on the side.
No big. Yeah. So one in health education, one in psychology, and then was about to get a PhD in psychology and had one of those things where I just couldn't write my dissertation, didn't know why. And after I left, I wrote my first book, which was Journal of a Starseed, which is essentially about that process of waking up and realizing there's more going on. And that was published the same weekend that I would have walked to get my PhD diploma.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't even realize
you went the ET diploma route.
I did. But now, you know, probably 500 times as many people have read it as would have if it were a dusty dissertation sitting on a shelf somewhere.
Right.
I figure it was a win.
So,
you know, ETs are a big theme. Divine feminine, goddess work is a big theme. Intuition, all the esoteric stuff. I've been around at this point. I've studied multiple types of shamanism from all over world traditions: Egyptian, Hawaiian, Celtic, Native American. So it's kind of a quilt. Hybridization is my jam, you know, physical and energetic and all the things. So, now what I do is host workshops and retreats, do the occasional session, go speak at conferences, do my own stuff, help with festivals, that kind of thing.
Right.
So, that's the long and short of it.
Wow. So, where do we start? I mean, you have some really, really, really fun stories, and I love hearing stories on the show. So, one of the things that really intrigued me when we first got introduced, which is funny enough, so tomorrow's episode, the last Facebook Live I did was with Daniel Raphael, who was here hanging out, and we decided we're going to record an interview episode, and he happened to be here, and we're like, why don't we just Facebook Live it too? Mm-hmm. And this is a few weeks ago, and so Facebook Live, of course, was live then, but his actual podcast episode will be released tomorrow. So funny enough, as I recall, when we met, what was it? 4 or 5 months ago, it was his birthday party in LA.
It was his
birthday.
Yeah. My brain.
So he was just here. And we obviously met, obviously at a wizard like Daniel's party, there's all kinds of interesting, magical people. And you were one of them that I connected with there. And so here you are. And, you know, you've shared some really, really interesting stories. One of the things that fascinates me, and I know a lot of the listeners, is having. And people talk about it, either having their own sort of, you know, multidimensional type experiences or wanting to so tell them maybe a little bit about that, like growing up in some small town in Virginia and being very intuitive and wide open. What was that like for you?
Well, it's interesting thinking back on it now from the perspective I now have, because many people who have this kind of specialization or sensitivity, we don't know what the heck it is. And often a lot of people are taught that it's kind of a handicap because we're not taught how to utilize it really. So we just end up being kind of victims. Like, I remember going Christmas shopping in high school in the busy mall and then having to sleep for like 5 hours afterward and having no idea why, until I learned years later what it was to be an empath and realized I was picking up all the gnarly energies of all the people just stressed out about Christmas and money and all these things in the mall. So there was that kind of stuff. Seeing spirits and ghosts, definitely. And for people who want to invite more, well, first off, learning to meditate. Just
it's
sit
like
there
number
quietly.
One requirement.
Yeah.
In
yeah. In. And now we have YouTube. So what you could do is get online and search a guided meditation and it'll take you through the whole thing. Whereas when I was coming up, that wasn't the way. It wasn't available. So learning to quiet your mind. When I was first learning to meditate, I would have this experience because I wanted to talk to my guides. I wanted to learn how to talk to them. I knew they were there. I could feel them. So first off, inviting it, saying, okay, I want to have contact. I want to know who you are. I want you to come and guide me more. And there are a couple of loopholes. So I love finding these and making things easier. And if you can't hear them, if you don't know if it's them or not, say, come through louder. Come through in a way that I can't deny or explain away. And come through in a way that I know it was you. And so I know that you've had a million experiences in 3D that are just guided.
We were talking about this last night. A lot of my experiences are very 3D based, where it's sort of mind-blowing experiences that are happening, but not necessarily getting visions or interacting with multidimensional beings or, and I talk to so many people who have those sorts of experiences all the time. And that's the other thing, I guess, to own and understand about this, we all have our own unique trajectory and path.
Yes. It's so important that each part of us, because we're just talking about like that visionary frequency, and then people who say aren't necessarily visionaries, and they might feel like, well, I'm not a visionary. It's like, no, the visionaries need you, because the visionaries, like, it's hard for us to necessarily make things go. We need people who are grounded, and you have both. You know, you have kind of the left brain and the right brain going on, so you can have the idea
sort of
and then ground it in.
Yeah, mix for sure.
Yeah, like hybrid again. Yeah, so inviting it in, practice, especially with meditation. So in the beginning, I would have this sense, first off, when I just started meditating, lots of crazy things were happening with my energy body. I remember the first time I ever tried to meditate, someone was guiding me through a meditation, and I couldn't focus on anything the dude was saying because all I was experiencing was my body, like especially my hands, the feeling of them getting really, really big as the sky, and then really, really teeny, 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 and then really, really big. Mm. And I was completely sober. I'd never even smoked marijuana at this point. I'd never done any psychedelics, nothing. Right. The occasional drink, but that was it. And it was so disconcerting and strange that I couldn't focus on the meditation at all. But what I realize it was now is my spirit kind of expanding and contracting along the microcosms of my own channels, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would be as big as the universe for a second, because we are. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be as tiny as a little mote for a second, because we are. Right. And so that was what I was experiencing. So if you're trying to learn to meditate and it's weird at first, just stick to it, because eventually it evens out. And then the visuals started to come in. And you know that I'm pretty visual. I see pictures. My mind anthropomorphizes everything, so I'll see it as like a being or someone that I'm talking to, and it might just be my brain shifting it, or it might be
using that
being.
Yeah,
just what's utilizable. And so I would have this impression of sitting in a chair in the middle of like a hotel ballroom, like the kinds of places they have wedding receptions or dances or whatever, that size room. And around the wall was lines of people, like two or three deep rows of people. And they were kind of shadowy. I couldn't see them. And they're all looking at me. And I was seeing them, and they were seeing me. And I, from my perspective, they wouldn't talk to me. It's like, talk to me, talk to me. I want to talk to you guys. But really, it's just that they couldn't, because I was integrating so that I could learn. It's like a radio station, learning how to tune. And now eventually, now I can just pop up and kind of call anyone. But this is over a decade later, you know, that I've been meditating about every day. And it's you know, now super normal and had a ton of crazy experiences. But you just get used to it, and then you learn, because we're all different. And a huge thing is fact checking, because the line between natural shamanism and schizophrenia is very thin.
Right.
And the idea is, well, what is real and what works? And if you get some kind of inspiration, intuition, say, okay, watch and see, does it come through in the 3D? Is it something that is accurate? Look and see, because there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm seeing this, or I'm feeling this. And it's really what they want or what they're afraid of, and not necessarily pure info. And over time, you get to learn the difference. You can feel when your ego or preferences or whatever is kind of tainting it a little on one side or the other. Or you can feel when it's just boom, clear like a bell.
Right.
And it's just practice that will teach you that.
Right.
Yeah.
What a fascinating journey you've had. And of course, now you have a YouTube channel that you regularly post to. Mm-hmm, maybe you can tell people how to find that and sort of what you do there.
Yeah, sure. Well, my Facebook page, I mean, my webpage is charismelina.com.
Right.
So charismelina.com. And all the links are there. So that's the easiest way, because my YouTube name is different. And So that's where I would send them. And then YouTube, Instagram, I'm pretty active there. And of course, Facebook. And I end up posting about once a week or so, and it's just whatever's coming up. Sometimes it's interviews and stuff. A lot of times it's just kind of vlog-style streaming, or when I notice things coming up in the world, I'll sometimes chime in on that if I'm getting the inspiration to do so. My intention is always to bring more consciousness, and also shadow integration, like non-duality, light and dark, and making the harmonic is what I'm into, more than like, you know, we have a lot of spiritual bypassing in the world today because we're just learning how to be what we are.
Why don't you talk about that for a minute?
Okay. Ooh, dun dun. Okay. This is the kind of stuff that makes some people mad. So disclaimer.
So, I've been known to do that a few times.
Good. It's good for us. So spiritual bypassing is when you see, like, you know, call the love and lighters, like people who, best intentions, sweet people, but there's a danger in saying, everything is all one and it's all love and light and nothing negative ever happens. And, you know, because on one hand, that's true. Like, it is all us. But we're here to experience the full range of emotion and the full range of experience. We're not supposed to hack off half of human experience. That's not the point.
Right.
And so when you see people, for instance, never face their shit, never be like, okay, well, I need to process this or go into this or heal something, but rather be like, oh, just white light it. Just paint it all in white light and kind of denially force your way around. And you always know that's happening, because then when those people do get triggered, they go cray cray. Like, it's super intense, and they get, you know, all that love and light stuff out the freaking window.
Where'd the angel go?
I know. The angel's sitting there going, you know, like their personal angels are like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's important to, like, boundaries. Like, I always say, like, boundaries are sexy. I love knowing people's boundaries, because then sometimes we step over each other's boundaries, but I like to know if I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. I like to know and say, okay, well, I'm going to do this because I'm feeling called to, or there's something I want to talk about with you or whatever, versus if someone's like, no, everything's fine, and then you accidentally step over a boundary, which is bound to happen, mm-hmm. then they freak out, mm-hmm. versus being able to. So it's really just emotional regulation, and spiritual bypassing is not dealing with things. But like mm-hmm. I said, you always know, because then you have these crazy explosions go off, mm-hmm. and people don't know how to handle the darker range of human emotion, mm-hmm. which we're here to get to,
right.
rather than being able to kind of harmonize all of it. I really believe that, you know, you think about people's take on heaven sometimes, and I don't want just harps. I also want drums, and yeah. that's like underworld. That's I want all of it.
That's a great.
Yeah, you
great
can't dance to just the harps. Like, you have to have
it. Makes
some
me think of my dad, who's like very. You know, we have such an interesting, and why we're connected, both from Virginia, both raised very conservative Christian. And my dad to this day still door knocks and invites people to church each Saturday. That's like his thing. And wow. I applaud his like dedication mm-hmm. and all yeah. those things.
And that's hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Knocking on doors like yeah. and people like, ksh. Yes. But I always joke him. I'm like, Dad, do you really want to just hear harps for eternity?
You get like, bored dude, after you learn all the songs.
Yeah. Like, come on, dude. Like, yeah. say, you know, 70, 80, 90, 120 years. And then it's like, okay, either you made it yeah. or you didn't. And if you made it, there's a lot of harps and grapes,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't
grapes
know.
And lots of white feathers everywhere. Yeah. My first teacher, my Reiki teacher, taught me. I was asking her, well, what happens after you die? Because when I first went to see her, I didn't believe in anything. I was atheist, agnostic, didn't believe in anything. And she said, well, you see whatever you believe you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, yeah. So it's whatever your tradition has been. And then eventually it gets boring. And so you're sitting
realize
at the right
you're creating
God,
it and projecting
yeah.
it.
And you're like, wait, what's really here? And everyone's like, oh, we're glad you asked. And then yeah. everything gets removed, and then they show you what's really going on.
So that I got to say something about that thought, too, because so my dad, we have, you know, obviously we have different belief systems, and we still have our debates for, I think, just more amusement than anything. We're not going to convince each other.
Nice.
But I always, you know, a lot of his stuff comes from fear, you know, fear mm-hmm. of being, you know, God is this jealous God or whoever, mm-hmm. and he's going to harm you if you don't obey him. And,
yeah.
you know, so I always joke him about that very thing. I'll tease him sometimes. I'm like, well, let me just tell you this. See, here's how I think it works. Time doesn't exist. So when you die, whenever you pass, I'll be there already, right? And you also are going to see whatever it is you expect to see. And there's a lot of fear about, yeah. you know, the you know, being tortured for eternity,
right.
hell, the devil, whatever. So what I've decided to do, and I always say to my other relatives, I'm such a dick. I'm like, so guys, if you guys want to come see the show when Dad passes, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to have a pitchfork, and I'm going to have a pointy tail,
yes.
and there's going to be a path, and he's going to be looking down the path, and there's going to be trees, and I'm going to be peeking out, and then like tiptoeing with my goat, you
yeah,
know,
your hooves.
Yeah, my hooves, going from tree to tree, like coming yeah. towards him.
Gotcha. That's awesome.
So,
you know, it's so funny what happens in the other realms, because so much of it is what we expect here. And, you know, when people fear other entities and they fear things coming in, trying to mess with them, I'm always like, well, if you have a body, if you have the wherewithal to gravitate and manifest a physical form, mm-hmm. then you're stronger than whatever it is. Because it might be able to tell you things or whisper to you, but it doesn't have a body. And so you're the one who's in charge.
Right.
And yeah, and after we die, I've often told people, because it changes your understanding of death when you can do mediumship work. And I've done mediumship work. I've been at funerals. When a friend of mine died, he was 80-something years old. He was so cool. Every time I would go visit him, he would make us Manhattans. And he would always have this frosty glass jug in the freezer, and he would always make us these Manhattans. I'd never had a Manhattan before, but I just had one a couple weeks ago in honor of Pops,
aww.
You know. So when he died, mm-hmm. I went, and he knew I was like this, because now it's part of my job, but that was still when I was kind of coming out of the mm-hmm. closet
right,
about
right.
I was writing the books and saying, oh no, am I going to get a brick through my window? But so, you know, I would tentatively bring this up, and we had talked about it a couple times. You know, people look at you like, oh, well, that's interesting, but we don't know really where to put this information. We're going to put it in the shit I don't understand drawer
mm-hmm.
and
right,
put it away,
right.
you know. But after he died, I was sitting at his funeral, and he was in there, and he came over to talk to me, and he was like, you can see me. And I was like, yeah. And he told me, he was like, honestly, this is great. He's like, my body feels great, because he had like gout and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was in his 80s. He was mm-hmm. time for him to go. his wife had also died like 10 years before, so mm-hmm. he was with her again. He'd really loved her. And he was like, people don't even understand, because everyone at the funeral is all sad.
And, stuff, yeah.
and he's like, they don't understand, but I'm actually great. And I was right. like, you know, good. You know, they just have to mourn and do the things. It's harder for us. But I've definitely, when my grandfather died, he definitely believed a fierce religion, the same one I was raised in.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him walking around the church going, whoa, this is not what I expected, you
right,
know?
Right, right.
And so it's really interesting to see. I mean, who knows?
Did you see him very... what is your vision of
okay,
them? Like,
so when I see multidimensional stuff, it's like, okay, so if I were to say to you right now, imagine that there's a giraffe standing right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know there's not a giraffe, but your mind can make it. You can make the spots. You can make the mm-hmm. long neck. So it's like that. I don't see them with my visual eyes hardly ever. Once in a while, there are a couple exceptions that I could say. But usually, it's like I'm imagining it. But sometimes I've seen stuff that I've never seen before, and then I'll go search mythology and find it.
Mm.
Or, you know, it's something that I wasn't at all thinking about, and it surprises me. I'm like, okay. And again, over time, I've learned what's accurate. But, you know, why would you imagine some random thing there? Or sometimes stuff comes through. For instance, things like murals, like mm-hmm. when you're driving through a city and you see some epic mural, a lot of times whatever elemental spirit or ghost or whatever it is that's hanging out, the artist would have just been inspired to paint it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, I was just in downtown LA last weekend, and the place felt pretty dark. You know, it was like a warehouse district with a lot of gnarly energy. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving, and there's this silhouette of this dude just like made of darkness up on the wall by the party that we were talking about last weekend. And so me, now having done shadow integration, I don't believe anything's good or bad. And also, we're full spectrum beings.
Right.
So if you're looking around and everything's dark, you are dark, my friend.
Right,
you
right.
look down, look in a mirror, and realize, oh, a shadow aspect of myself is coming up, because how could I even see these beings
right.
if I weren't vibrating with them? And that's cool. Just because something's dark doesn't mean it's scary. Mm. I went to Burning Man one time, and everybody at the party was turning into demons, and they were all just partying. Like, no, nothing was wrong. They were just monsters just hanging out, like dancing.
It was a monster mash.
It was a monster mash. It was. So then what I usually do, even when you see the scary stuff, you're just like, oh, hey, what's up? Can I do anything for you? Here's some source energy, whatever. It's not mm-hmm. a big deal. I like to make friends all across the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I think every frequency deserves to be in the great chord mm-hmm. of creation. It already is there. Who are we to say?
Right.
It's all just grace and navigation and doing what you're here to do.
Right, right, right. So we got a question. Someone on the Facebook live feed wrote in. This is Miranda. She said, so I've been on my awakening journey for about 14 months now.
Mm-hmm.
My waking up was prompted by getting clean and sober.
Mm.
I'm very recently feeling like I'm being rocketed to new depths of my awakening, and it's so beautiful and is way better than any high you can get off the streets. A winky face. Now it feels like, now that you're awake, go do all the things, in caps. And I'm finding it hard to slow down and I guess zero in on a way of getting to know, become my divine self. Where do you suggest starting?
Awesome. Thank you for that question, Miranda. That's an amazing question. A lot of people want to know that. There are a couple tips. One of them is, the first thing that comes to mind is nutrition. As you know, when you pop things like superfoods into your diet, it helps rocket you up. You might already be familiar with that, Miranda, but things like spirulina, rock cow, stuff like that will just level you up. And it also heals, especially if she used to do types of substances, it'll help like heal things that might be singed out in her brain a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But when she said it was hard to slow down, what I would suggest, we were just talking about this last night, like the new paradigm of work. What counts as work? For me, spa days count as work.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I go to the spa, I then get 25 ideas that then when I'm not at the spa, I'm putting into process, and it's enhancing my work in the world, both my like careerish work and also my spiritual work, which are pretty much enmeshed.
Right.
And, you know, I often tell people, I am someone who needs to lay around. I need to just stare at the sky for a while. I need to just tune out, so then the inspirations have place to land.
Yeah.
So I would recommend to her grounding, earthing, taking your shoes off, putting them on the grass. Even medical science has found that 20 minutes of bare feet on the grass can reduce inflammation in your body by up to 80%.
Wow.
So you think of all those little things going off in you that affect your mind, that affect your health, that affect your access to your intuitive state, and also your theta versus alpha versus beta waves, wherever you're hanging out. If you just make it part of your practice, part of your self-care routines and rituals to take care of that, everything's way easier. And not only is it way easier to access, but it's easier for that stuff to make sense with this stuff here.
Right.
Yeah, and be able, because who cares what you're seeing in the other realms if it doesn't come through to the physical world and assist you and assist the people around you. We've got some gnarly shit going on this planet. And so it's more important than ever to be the lighthouses and be the beacons and handle our shit so that we're beaming out good frequencies to soothe out all the people freaking out for good reason everywhere.
Right. You know what you made me think of instantly with that was I saw a commercial, like a spoof commercial a few months ago, and it was like for nature. Yeah. And it was like done like one of these commercials for, you know, whatever drug.
Oh, awesome.
And it's like nature and written like it's a drug, you know, and like it just going on and on. And the side effects may be, you know, which are all awesome.
Feeling
side effects.
And, yeah.
And so I think that's such a profound, you know, piece of simple advice. Meditation, spending time in nature. Even now, you guys, if you hear my voice is raspy, I got sick for the first time in I always say I don't believe in getting sick, but a belief I do have is if I push myself too hard and I get stressed or did substances at Burning Man or something like that too much, that I could get sick. That's a story I tell myself. Mm-hmm. And so the last few weeks has been particularly like 14-hour work days and, you know, some stresses that I'm not normally having. And lo and behold, I lowered my immune system, and something that rarely happens to me, you know, happened. And it wasn't like major sickness, but enough to have, you know, lose my voice a little bit and feel sort of feverish for a day or so. And so, you know, it's super important to listen to once you do find what it is that you want to do. In my case, it's like I have very definitive ideas and I've got all these projects, and to even keep those in balance and to like not try and force it through. Like she said, I want to do all the things. I felt that.
Yes.
And one of the things that I'm really learning this year is to, and it's still, I'm a work in progress for sure on this, is not trying to do so much externally as to let it like work smarter, not harder, and let things flow to you. And part of it is taking that time to rest, to, you know, ground, to all those things. It creates, you know, that may be the equivalent of 20 hours of hard work.
Yes.
And so understanding that, letting it flow to you, you don't have to go out there and move things around in 3D to make things happen for yourself as much as get yourself in the right state and then watch those things flow to you.
Yeah, right? Magnetic.
Right.
Yeah, I often see and speak to people in my work about if you're getting messages to slow down, if you're getting messages to rest, especially with light workers, like we just want to help everything. But if you're getting those messages and you don't, then something will knock you out. Yep. So you have to.
Force you.
Yeah. So you have to. And just the same, you know, people talk about like fear of missing out, that whole like FOMO, like, oh, I want to go because I'm afraid or whatever. Whenever I feel that and I go and I force myself to go, it's not good anyway.
Yeah. Right.
So it's you know, are you coming from a lack-based perspective?
Yeah.
And then resting and relaxing. Because if you're trying to do the thing, and then it like your computer won't load, your internet won't work, all these things in the way, the web page is wrong, you have to redo it. Versus if you step away, make your magnetism stronger, and then it's one or two keystrokes, and it all just blossoms. You'll see, you can learn how to do this. And something else that's really important for people on the awakening path to know is every path is divine. You do not have to fix other people. You do not have to teach them. You should not proselytize, because that can actually slow other people's process. I've learned the hard way that if you try to crack people open too much and force what you're seeing is real and you're so excited and everyone should know this, then what ends up happening sometimes is almost like you create energetic scar tissue around these concepts, so that because they're resistant to it, because they're not ready for it. And then when it is time for them to crack open in that way or blossom open that way, it's harder because then they have all this weird scar tissue and like soft trauma around it. And so you're not helping. So do your own thing, be the example, and then people will come to you and be like, how do you stay so clear? And then you can be like, oh, well, A, B, and C, and D, but these are just my ways. Like, you'll have your own ways.
Right.
Yeah, you just got to feel it out, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to kind of answer, kind of wrap it up from, well, not only for today's episode, which went super quick and this has been amazing, but to just kind of, Miranda, to you know, the thing I would leave you with is starting with really just focusing and grounding this, you know, having an awakening, as you put it, that's a powerful thing in and of itself. And now you want to do all the things. Okay, be very careful not to get caught up in, and we talked about this a little bit last night, being caught up comparing yourself to someone else's path. Yeah. And, oh, well, that person knows exactly what they're after and what they're doing. And so why don't I, and what's wrong with me, and where's my niche or thing or whatever? Forget about all that and just focus on your state and getting yourself in vibrational alignment with it. You don't even need to know how. You just need to know it's not if but when, right?
Yeah.
And I don't need all the details. And this is part of the game that I play with higher self is, you know, that trust, that faith that a lot of religions talk about is this, like knowing I will land exactly where I meant to land in the perfect timing. And if I don't quite know what that looks like yet, know that there is something, and I just said this, I want to say on yesterday's show even, there's something for you that is, or more than one thing for you, that is perfectly for you. You are the perfect character for that thing. No one on planet Earth is better at being that. Mm-hmm. And you can't, as long as you're not getting in the way of it, you can't help but flow right to it. Where you prevent yourself from getting to it is fear of not finding it, or is there something for me, or why haven't I found it yet, or you know, I feel like I can see my friend or this person on the show is doing these things, and why I'm not me, and once you get caught up in all that, you're out of vibrational alignment with that. So that's just relax about it would be my advice, Miranda. Yeah. And to know that it's not if but when, as yeah. you see what these things, all the things are. Yeah. And that's a big one for me too, is like understanding I can do anything, but I can't do everything. Yeah. And I have all these different projects, and you know, and sometimes I even question myself. It's like, you know, like Bruce Lee said, I don't fear the man who does 1,000 kicks one time. I fear the man who does one kick 1,000 times, you know. Oh, so finding that yeah. focus, you know, so yeah. relaxing, there are a lot of things are going to start coming up as possibilities for you as you have your awakening, and really just being selective and slow and methodical, and realizing there is no hurry. You're floating in eternity. There's nowhere to go, nothing you have to do, and relaxing into it. Yeah. So these are things that I'm all publicly working on myself.
Focus is a superpower.
Yeah.
For sure. Totally. And go to the library and just walk around and see what jumps out at you. Go to a bookstore and just walk around and see what jumps out at you. You'll be shown what you need to know, what yeah. you need to study.
Well, this has been absolutely as magical as I knew it would be. You are so amazing. And we're actually going to do some more of these, guys. So we're going to be spending some time for a few days. And so you have been gracious enough to bless up the Positive Head podcast for at least one or two more episodes, and hopefully more in the future, because you're amazing. And yeah, other than that, one thing that I always do, so there's this live thing that's happening right now, but also this will be released later as a audio podcast. And at the end of my podcast, I always play a song. I love to play DJ. I love music. And so whenever I have a co-host, I always let them take the DJ booth and choose a song that they love. That is, you know, obviously something that's going to probably not, you could play death metal as an exclamation point on what you're just making. Love the shadow too. I'll let you choose whatever you want. But I meant to ask you before we started recording, do you have something in it? Well, here you're live and you get to choose a song that will be on the audio version podcast release later.
I think I want to go super old school.
All right.
Like, cliche.
Cannibal Corpse.
so close. I think I want to do like Enigma, Return to Innocence.
Ooh, I love that.
That's a good one. It never gets old.
Yeah, you know? That's a beautiful song. Wonderful. Well, hope you guys enjoy this Enigma track. And thank you guys for tuning in live. We'll be doing another one of these on Thursday. And until then, you guys, until next time, journey well. Love you all.
Love. Thank you. Sure.